Taylor Hall will be our lay reader.
The scripture reading today is Revelations chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, and Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, "These are the words of the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your affliction and your poverty, even though you are rich. I know the slander on the part of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Beware, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have affliction. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Whoever conquers will not be harmed by the second death. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, spread among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Taylor. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is a Greek word which means 50th, and the Jews called it the Feast of Harvest. According to Jewish law, all the adult Jewish men would come to Jerusalem and attend the celebration of the feast. The streets of Jerusalem were packed with thousands of pilgrims who had come from everywhere to celebrate the goodness of God and the bringing in of the wheat harvest. According to Acts chapter 2, just before Jesus ascended, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. About 120 disciples gathered together and were praying fervently as Jesus told them to do. On the day of Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus' ascension, when all the disciples were together in one place to pray, suddenly a sound came from heaven like a blowing of violent wind, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, they began to speak with other tongues, declaring the Lord's greatness in languages that they did not know. Some scoffing onlookers thought they were drunk. But Peter said that was not possible, since it was only 9 o'clock in the morning, too early to be drunk. Then Peter stood up and preached his first sermon to the crowd. And as a result, 3,000 people repented and came to the Lord. Isn't it amazing? No, yeah. Then, before anyone knew what was happening, the gospel spread to Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, which were all places the Lord foretold in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, before his ascension. We miss the whole point if we focus on supernatural phenomena, such as the rushing wind, the tongues of fire, and the speaking of tongues, rather than on the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples on the Pentecost. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit that transformed Peter, the denier, into Peter, the preacher. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit which took those fearful, doubting, and hesitant disciples and made them flaming evangelists who were ready to give their lives for Jesus Christ. It was the Holy Spirit coming into ordinary men and women like you and me who transformed them from ordinary men and women into evangelists for Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at an example of an early church where the spirit of Pentecost shone brightly. It was Smyrna church, where Jesus sent his second letter in the book of Revelation. If you travel about 35 miles north of Ephesus, you will come to a natural harbor that was home to the city of Smyrna. Smyrna is the only one of the seven cities still in existence. Its modern name is Izmir, which is a leading city in modern Turkey. And in AD 26, a competition was held to determine which city would win the right to build a temple of Caesar worship. Smyrna won that contest and took great pride in its loyalty to the Roman Empire. Because of the prevailing paganism and because of the citywide emperor worship, believers in Smyrna found themselves under unrelenting persecution. Once a year, the loyal citizens of Smyrna would publicly declare, "Caesar is Lord." Whoever fails to confess, "Caesar is Lord, Caesar is Lord," they would be arrested and even put to death if they didn't change their mind. In verse 8, Jesus begins, "To the angel of the church at Smyrna, write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life." Here, the first and last means that Jesus is the Lord of the world. To the Smyrna believers who had to fight the fear of death every day, it would have been a great comfort and strength when Jesus confirmed himself as the resurrected Lord and that Jesus, not Caesar, was the only Lord in the world. Verse 9 says, "I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich." The word afflictions does not describe the ordinary troubles of life. It refers rather to what we might call catastrophic suffering. We can think of the suffering believers today living in communist countries such as China and North Korea, or Muslim countries in Middle East. No doubt many had lost their jobs and possessions because they would not say Caesar is Lord. To these poverty-stricken Christians, Christ says, yet you are rich. Because the Christians at Smyrna were so poor, they learned early on that Jesus really is all that they need. That's why Jesus says, you are rich. No man is poor who has learned to depend on Christ alone. The Lord continues, I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan's. Who are these people who are called a synagogue of Satan's? They were the Jews in Smyrna who had joined forces with the pagans to accuse the Christians in Smyrna of treason against Roman Empire. And Jesus tells them that these Jews think they are Jews, but are not Jews at all. By their rejection of Christ and by their slander of God's people, they prove themselves to be not among God's children, but among Satan's children, whose very name in Greek means slanderer or false accuser. Then Jesus told them in verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Be aware, the devil is about to throw some of you into the prison so that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have affliction. In this verse, we can learn a few facts regarding suffering related to our faith. Jesus has perfect knowledge of all that is about to happen to us. Amen. Lord, you know what we are going to suffer. The Lord sometimes allows the devil to attack us severely so that we may be tested and spiritually grow through it. Jesus also teaches us that our sufferings will be limited. Here, 10 days can be interpreted metaphorically rather than literally. For some, it is more like 10 years, not 10 days. For others, it seems like a lifetime. We ought to remember that Jesus never promises to remove sufferings in our life. As a matter of fact, we as believers of Christ should expect suffering and trials as long as we continue to take up our cross and follow Jesus Christ. At times, the believers must stand severe tests, but God is always with them to sustain them in desperate hours. Amen. Smyrna church was a church that only received commanding from the Lord, nothing to rebuke. The Lord promised eternal life to the believers in Smyrna, who kept their faith even in the suffering of death. Many contemporary Christians have never heard of a man named Polycarp. The early believers knew all about him because he was one of the first well-known martyrs of the Christian faith. In his youth, he was a disciple of the Apostle John. For many years, he served as bishop of the church in Smyrna. During a wave of persecution in AD 155, when a mob demanded his death, Roman officials tried to save his life by offering him repeated chances to deny his faith in Christ. He refused each time. And according to the account of his death, when he is told to forsake Christ, he responded by saying that this, I quote, 86 years I have served my Lord, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior now? You threaten me with a fire that burns for a season, and after a little while is quenched. But you are ignorant of the fire of everlasting punishment that is prepared for the wicked. And then he prayed, I bless you, Father, for judging me worthy of this hour, so that in the company of the martyrs, I may share the cup of Christ. I am sure at the moment to face his death. The Bishop of Polycarp must remember the words of Jesus. Be faithful. Even to the point of death, I will give you eternal life. Since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has been on the loose, shaking the foundation of the church till now through gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. Although today's churches are in greater challenge than ever, the Holy Spirit is still actively working in the world through men and women who have devoted their lives to the Lord. Therefore, I believe that the most necessary thing for churches today is to restore the spirit of Pentecost. I pray that God would grant his spirit upon centenary church and church members that can bring the revival of our church. Amen. 10 of you said amen. How many are here? God's people say, amen. Please, don't give me a look saying, come on, Pastor Michelle. You know how elderly most of our church members are. Don't expect too much from us. Oh, who said that's true? Not true, I'm sorry. Not true. Okay. Beloved, let us not limit the power of the Holy Spirit, who will guide and lead us regardless of our circumstances, such as church members' ages or church sizes. Amen. Amen. Today, on Pentecost Sunday, I imagine many true believers like Polycarp across the world stand up for the glory of God. They are the brave men and women who are filled with the Holy Spirit and will not give up their Christian faith even to the point of death. They would rather die than surrender what Jesus has given them. Dear congregants, let's remember that our God is more willing to pour out the Spirit than we want to receive. When God's Spirit is poured out, the result will be a church filled with passion, zeal, and great spiritual power. God will ignite kingdom passion in every heart of our church members. Therefore, let us pray to God to help us restore the spirit of Pentecost. If we humbly wait, Pentecost can happen in our church. Amen. I truly believe that. I am sure that it is right time God would pour out the Spirit on his disciples for this challenging world. May God pour out the Holy Spirit in our midst. And I gladly say, oh Lord, begin with me. Begin with me, Lord. Let us pray. Please, with your eyes closed, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit to recommit yourself as disciples of Jesus Christ, would you rise now? I'm going to pray for you. Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of today. On this Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, we remember how the early church disciples had been transformed by the descent of the Holy Spirit. Lord, today we too need to be transformed and to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do your will in this challenging time. Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to come in the midst of us and transform our hearts and minds for the work of the church. Lord, look at these men and women who eagerly wait for the power of the Holy Spirit come upon them. Lord, we believe you are the head of our church. Oh, Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, pour out your power upon these men and women who want to be recommit themselves as the disciples of our Lord. Help them to reignite their passion for the kingdom of God. Lead them to boldly witness the gospel wherever they go. whenever they were need to preach the word and guide them to live their daily life as powerful as members of Smyrna Church. Holy Spirit, come upon them. Bless them. Love them. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come upon all who are present in this sanctuary, as well as upon those who worship with us virtually. Lord, bless these people with your power, wisdom, and love for the revival of our church. Help our church not to simply go back to pre-COVID, but to be a restored, powerful, and vital church of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen, Holy Spirit. Amen, Holy Spirit. Your wind, your breath, your power. Holy Spirit, amen. Yes, yes. Amen.